I recently asked a friend of mine how high he thought gas would have to go before the driving habits of Americans would be altered. After all, we're not used to paying $2.50 a gallon for gas. He thought the price would have to go a lot higher than it is today. How high might surprise you? You're listening to Longitude. It's Wednesday, August 10th, 2005. I'm Darris McNeely. Crude oil prices went near the $65 a barrel mark this week. And as they continued to rise on Wednesday, after the United States government delivered a mixed report on the nation's energy supply, with crude oil supplies rising last week, but gasoline stocks shrinking. Traders are nervous about threats to output around the world because of continued strong demand in the United States, China, and beyond, with high prices only tempering fuel consumption slightly. Energy markets have been particularly sensitive to a number of refinery outages in recent weeks, which briefly sent the crude futures on Tuesday this week to record territory above $64 a barrel. The transition of power in Saudi Arabia last week following the death of King Fahd also unnerved the markets, as did the security-related closure of the U.S. embassy earlier this week in the world's largest oil-producing nation, Saudi Arabia. OPEC has pledged to pump more oil if needed, though the market has tended to brush off such talk because, with worldwide demand averaging some 84 million barrels a day, excess production capacity is limited to about 1.5 million barrels a day, and the type of oil available, sour crude, is not the preferred variety for making transportation fuels. Analysts say that the market was used to having 4 to 5 million barrels in spare capacity some 10 years ago, and people would still like to have this cushion available, but it's not the case anymore. Other analysts say that a number of U.S. refinery troubles, the latest reported by British Petroleum this week, is evidence that the industry and its aging infrastructure are having difficulty maintaining output at high levels. A British Petroleum spokesman wouldn't comment on how much production would be lost, though the unit went down because of a leak, and it has the capacity to process 80,000 barrels of fuel per day. That's quite a loss. On Tuesday of this week, the Energy Department slashed its 2005 world oil demand growth forecast by nearly a quarter, mostly resulting from slower than expected Chinese growth. World oil demand will grow by 1.7 million barrels a day this year to over 84 million barrels a day demand. The president of OPEC said the group stands ready to pump more oil as and when the need arises. Sheikh Ahmed Al-Sabah, who is also the Kuwaiti oil minister, said OPEC's total output is 30.4 million barrels a day and rising. Some analysts have questioned OPEC's capability, saying most members are pumping as much as they already can, and Saudi Arabia, the only OPEC producer with significant spare capacity, may not be able to quickly mobilize extra production. But some experts say Saudi Arabia is producing at its peak and may not have more room to expand. A recent interview I heard with Matthew Simons, who is the author of a book entitled Twilight in the Desert, The Coming Saudi Oil Shock and the World Economy, had some alarming information regarding the available oil reserves in Arabia. Mr. Simons said that the bottom line is that the reserves in Saudi Arabia are not as great as once thought, and that we're likely to see prices go much higher than they are at present. He also mentioned that any instability in the region would affect the output and it could result in oil shortages. And if Europe and North America experience an especially cold winter this year, it would push demand beyond capacity and prices would go through the roof. I'll put a link to this interview on a blog posting on Longitude if any of you would like to listen to that full interview with Mr. Simons. You know, it's interesting, but America is presently paying far less than the rest of the world in terms of a gallon of gas. Our friends in Europe would love to have our prices today. If you look at the price of gas in many European countries compared to what we're paying in the United States, there's quite a dramatic difference. In Belgium, for instance, they pay $5.74 already for a gallon of gas. In Germany, they pay $5.88. In the Netherlands, they pay $6.50 for a gallon of gas. Now, you compare that with our current average price, at least where I am here in the Midwest today, which is $2.35. You see, there's quite a vast difference, and you wonder why they would love to have our gas prices and why they look at us and our complaints, perhaps, and can't figure all of that out. We are indeed paying a lot less than many people in other parts of the world at this time. So how high did my friend say that gas would need to be before it impacted our driving habits? My friend has a family in Germany, and he travels there quite often. He thinks that $6 a gallon is the number that would see us change. I think he may be right. As long as we have the gas, you see, we'll pay for it. It's when we can't get the gas that we will likely see a change in mood. I remember the gas shortages of the mid-1970s. When people can't get gas and they have to wait in line for hours, you begin to see problems. Personally, I don't want to go back and see that again. Because when people are denied basic things in life, you begin to see things break down. Massive energy shortages would create a new scenario in our society. We don't want to go there. As we head into the coming months, we'll all be watching the price of a barrel of oil, probably more than we will the price of a gallon of milk. For Longitude, I'm Darris McNeely. Keep listening.